Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Remarkably Me podcast. I'm your host, Anika Apple. Today's episode is called The Strength to Surrender, and it features special guest and fellow podcast host, Sam Goody. We've completed this episode as a special crossover event, appearing on the Sam Goody podcast and here on the Remarkably Me podcast. Our journey is all about the strength to surrender. And what we talk about is the journey of releasing the way that we have expected to operate and move in the world to God, to allow ourselves to be in a place of surrender, to learn from our mistakes, our journey, the challenges, our fear, and to experience what it feels like to live a life that is grounded in peace and love, that is centered on God, where we are continuously looking at how we can become the best versions of ourselves through the experience of life. You will find this episode to be a lot of fun. We had a lot of joy recording this, a lot of levity, but also some really deep truths. We share a lot of our experiences and journeys, and I am grateful to have my friend on the podcast today. Probably one of my favorite moments is when Sam talks about how God looks for service and love, and how that is really what true surrender is all about, allowing your life to be in service of God's best and highest good for yourself and others.
And I want to welcome you to the Sam Goody Podcast, where I myself, along with the Goody Gang, help you find the good in every bad. So no matter where you are in life, at times it gets a bit heavy. But hold steady and get ready. It's the Sam Goody Podcast, where we help you find the good in every bad.
I love your intro. I love it.
I have to do another one, though.
That's good.
Yeah, so I had something that was just going to kick the pot off. Mm-hmm. It would put me in my routine instead of me just jumping up saying things. So, but we're going to start with a prayer.
Father God, we invite you into this space. We thank you for a beautiful day. We ask, God, that you would anoint this space with your Holy Spirit, that you would pour out upon us, that we would be strengthened through you, that we would speak the things that those listeners who have the opportunity to hear you flowing through us need to receive. Father, I ask right now that you would cover us, that you would protect us, that you would release anything within us that is unlike you, that all divine communication is open, flowing, and anointed only by you, that everything that comes forward is for the best interest of the kingdom, for Sam, for myself, and all those that have the opportunity to hear. Father, we pray that truth would lead, that love would be present, that peace would be present, and that whatever your will is, that it would be established on this day. We thank you in advance for the blessings that we know this will be to your children, and I pray that whatever healing is required for Sam, for myself, and for the listeners, that they would receive it on this day. This is our prayer, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. That is new. Goody Gang, that is new. That is new because, and I talk a lot about God, because I'm only on page 2 of the Bible. So I'm just starting, and I am a work in progress.
We're all works in progress. But page 2 of the Bible, well, somehow yeah. I don't believe
that. Well, that's just my way of saying, you know, I'm still working, and I seek more than I used to, because I now know the benefits of it. Excellent. So to think that I'm so thorough in it, I just say, hey, I'm just on page 2 of the Bible. He's not done with me. But as we have a dialogue with anywhere that I go, people would, they can tell that I'm immersed in the good acts. Mm-hmm. Right. So good intentions. But you know what that means.
Yeah. Good intentions. There's a path there. But, you know, we're going to stay on the good today.
Absolutely. Yes. Goody.
Goody.
Yeah.
Well, on the Remarkably Me podcast,
okay,
it's all about healing through the power of storytelling.
Oh.
Yeah. So, for me, I definitely am curious to dig into your healing journey.
Okay.
And I think it's always right for us to just talk about whatever, relationships. love is always on my mind.
Absolutely.
Because we need more love in the world.
Absolutely.
It's how we're going to heal the world.
Mm.
The other thing I think is so important is that we create an atmosphere of belonging. And so how we do that is by helping people see themselves in each other and connect.
Yeah.
And so that's also on my mind.
Absolutely.
How about for you?
Oh, for me and the Goody Gang, what we do here is, what I realized over time is, in order for people to really advance in life, they have to, the self-awareness of themselves, mm-hmm. know that they're in their way in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of trust in the people that are in your inner circle to more so read you and give you the honest feedback, and for you to kind of get to a place to where you can accept it. I'm not saying that all things are true at what people say, but for some part, I keep importing people around me that I can trust what they say, mm-hmm. and I'll go back and I'll do the work. So I've made a lot of advancements as far as allowing people to, quote unquote, read me. But I also go back and kind of get to the bottom of what that is and try to more so do the work. Because truthfully, it's your perspective on life. It's been my perspective on life. And sometimes our environment that we were raised in gives us one perspective. So to unlearn it, that's the work that I've been doing. So I try to more so encourage the Goody Gang to find the good in every bad, because there is one. Even if it's the fact that we're here today, we have another day to start.
Well, I love that you talked about two things that are super important to me. One is perspective changes everything.
That Absolutely.
Is, it's one of the things you'll hear me say all the time, because we often are so set, like you were saying, in our ways and what we have been groomed into in the
yes.
world. But we're limited simply because of our minds. Like, you know, there's only so much that can be truly created as new in our brains, right?
Yes.
The way the mind works is to come from a place of protection at all times. And so because of that, whenever there's something that's new or different, it's difficult for you to immediately allow yourself to receive it. And then I love that you talked about bringing people into your circle
yes.
that can read you, right? It's so interesting because I see a lot of resistance in the people that I coach and people
yes.
that I'm in community with when the divine is pulling people away from them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that in this time, especially because we are coming up on something really significant
absolutely.
Next month, that more and more people are going to be coming away from your circle.
Yeah.
And that's important for you, because there is a reason that people are in your life, but sometimes they block your ability to see yourself because they're not telling you the truth, right?
Yeah.
So I find that when you allow your circle to be in flow, when you just allow people to come in and out as, you know, as God instructs you to, mm-hmm. that you will always have exactly what you need. The other thing that I would say, and I think this is good for the Goody Gang and for all of our listeners,
yeah.
is that the road to self-awareness starts with an invitation that you put out there.
Mm.
So when you desire to see yourself, that changes things. So every day when I do my affirmations, one of the things that I say is, I want God to show me me. I just
Absolutely.
Say, show me me. And undoubtedly, sometimes God shows me me, and I'm like,
yeah.
I didn't want to see that.
Yeah.
but truly, because I ask for that, and I ask yeah. for feedback from people, I invite that in. Even when it's difficult to receive, I
yeah.
am getting what I need. I am seeing myself.
Absolutely.
We actually walk the earth as mirrors for one another.
Mm.
So I can look at a person and see something I really admire, and perhaps it's something that I'm aspiring to.
Okay.
I can look and see something that I'm like, I don't like that. That rubs me the wrong way
Correct.
About
yes.
the person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a good portion of the time, if you really stop to look at what it is, it's reflecting something back to you that you don't want to see or don't like about yourself. And so if we could go through, you know, life really looking at and taking the experiences we have with other people to digest, what is this telling me about me?
Yeah.
Less than what is this saying about this person? Like, what assumptions am I making?
That intersection.
Yeah, tell me.
That intersection of the company we keep. And how is this person still having access to me when something just is not right about this person?
Ooh, talk about it.
We more so try to project that onto them when it's really we're creating the world that we're living in. So I tell people, like, please take inventory on where you are in life now, because you had I'm not going to say everything to do with it. You had a part in doing that too as well. That's where the self-awareness comes from. The awareness of, you know what? The accountability in where I am today had 50%, if not 75%, we've been all the way honest with ourselves, I'm the reason I'm here today. Mm-hmm. The other side of that is to do the work that it takes to, because a lot of people can look up today and be like, I'm happy where I am. That's fine, but will it stay that way? I'm always trying to evolve, but I tell people a lot of time, don't get comfortable where you are. But then I had to pause that because it's an uphill battle that we all have been enduring in life. And it's okay to sit back and be like, you know what? I can breathe just for a little bit. Because when we don't stop and smell those roses, we aren't living. But to get back to the part where the company that you keep is a mirror of really who you are and what you seek. I started to know that I was outgrowing certain things by, well, I was getting myself in enough trouble. I don't think it took the company that I kept. I think it was more so places that I was going, and just the repetitiveness of things that was kind of holding me back. And as I started to be around other people and they were like, yo, maybe you should try things differently. As I grew older and mature and I wanted more out of life, I started to now adhere to what they were saying then too as well. Because sometimes I used to try to force people to see that they were doing things wrong. But somebody was like, yo, how about you focus on you, be the example,
that part,
and then people will come to you when they want to become better. Like, so how did you do that? You know what I mean? So I was like, all right, I can't hang out with these guys anymore. I can't do these things anymore because it's not yielding me where I'm looking to go. Mm-hmm. That is a work that you must do alone. Mm-hmm. What I've learned for me is that I'll say this. I like to use analogies. If you were to turn all the lights off in this house now, you can probably still maneuver in here because it's your house.
Yep. I know my way around.
You know your way around you.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. But if you go somewhere that's unfamiliar, you're like, wait a minute, you're filling the walls, there's places inside of ourselves that we don't know too much about, to where we have to get to the bottom of it and we have to do the work because it's in us. Yeah. When I had to unlearn some things, that was work that Sam had to do for Sam. And in order for me to do that work, I had to take on that journey. There's not a time frame for it as well, but I can tell that when I was getting better. And once I started digging in there, I knew that the people that were around me were going to benefit from me doing the work too as well. So, but I don't want to go off in a tangent
I think this is good though, because you know, what you were describing, the dark stuff that you have to move through.
Absolutely.
We call it shadow work, right? It's the stuff that you don't see about yourself that is limiting your ability to progress.
Absolutely.
And as you are peeling back the stuff about yourself, I love that you talked about going on that road alone, because your shadow work you do have to do alone.
Absolutely.
I call it the cave season, right? When you're in the cave, when God is like taking you into the cave, pulling you away from everyone, and you're like, you know, you might go into the cave thinking, oh, this is great. I'm gonna have some time yeah, of peace, right?
Yeah.
You might go into the cave like, no, don't pull me away. In my cave season, I was so resistant. And by the time it was time to come out the cave, I was like, don't push me out of here. Like, this place is safe.
Okay.
Doing that work under God's light is different.
Yeah.
It's different. Yeah, yeah, and again, because you, like, when you get to the point where you're like, I really want to be the best Sam that I can be. I want to be the best Anika that I can be.
Yeah.
Then you're open to doing the work because you know that there's something greater on the other side. a lot of times we are so frustrated by what's happening in the world around us, and we don't want to see that we are responsible for it. But you can't move past it without looking at yourself.
Absolutely.
And so in those moments, like when God is doing the work on you in the cave, you're really exploring parts of yourself that you've never been to. You're seeing the things that happened even when you were a child that you didn't realize were still framing the way you see things.
Ooh.
It's funny if you think about marriage as an example.
Okay, never been, but I'm listening.
Well, you know, I mean, you could say long-term relationships. You might have been in one of those before or something. Ma'am. But, you know, when you think about that, when two people are getting into a relationship like that, they come with expectations that they don't even realize. So you might enter into the relationship, everything's good, you know, especially if you've been dating and then you're talking about getting married because it is definitely a different dynamic.
Okay.
But once you get into that relationship, things that you've never talked about become expectations.
Mm.
It's like, oh no, well, what do you mean? You're not going to do the dishes. Like, that's like,
right.
You know, when I grew up, my mom and dad both did the dishes.
They
both shared. Well, in my house, you know, that was my mom's responsibility or whatever. You carry so many things like that that you never think about.
Yeah.
And it has such a significant impact. I love that the fireworks are like, it's like the exclamation mark every time I say something. But you know, there is such recognition that you begin to have when you allow yourself to really see yourself.
Yeah.
And then you can start to unpack, this is why I show up in this way.
Absolutely.
This is why I do these things. I am a huge proponent for therapy. Have you ever been through therapy?
I haven't. I need it, but I haven't. I think I've done enough work that I can only accomplish for me. But I think professional help going forward, because I think I'm at a good groundbreaking place where I now can get assistance with what I'm doing. I'm self-aware. I can admit whatever those things are, and I can move myself forward. I think that would definitely be great for me.
And what you just said is perfect, because it's like, it is this piece about being open. Like I was talking about before, like you do have to invite the person in and want to do the work.
Absolutely.
Because it's your work to do, right?
Yeah.
But I'm a huge proponent of therapy, and I have been through therapy through at different times in my life. And there's such a huge impact of the questions and things that come up.
Okay.
And your ability to see how things are triggers for you, the things that have been happening in your life that are repeated patterns,
right?
That are hard to see it when you're sitting there looking at it. But when you look back, you're like, oh, that happened three or four times.
Absolutely.
And like, I'm the one that is the common denominator.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something here for me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's, what do you think? Why do you think people run from doing the shadow work or that alone time?
Oh, it's easy. It's painful.
Yeah. It's unfamiliar territory.
It is. And it's like, this is the stuff about yourself that is tucked away because you want it to be tucked
away.
Absolutely. Because you don't want to look at this stuff because there's fear there, because there, you know, there's challenge. I remember along my journey, one of my friends said to me, I was out walking my dog one morning and I saw a snake.
Okay.
And I have been like deathly afraid of snakes for forever. I actually have done a great job of moving through that fear.
Okay.
But at this time I was really afraid. And she asked me, she said, what's the message? Like, what's the message? It might be time for you to look the snake in the eye.
Mm.
And this was like metaphorical,
okay.
Right? But I went back out on the next walk. I took my dog out and went up and I took a picture of the snake.
Mm.
And I brought it back. That was my version of being bold, because I was not going to go up and look the snake in the eye, right? I was like, I ain't stupid.
Dead or alive, I don't want to see you, sir.
I'm cool. But I took the picture and I went back and I sat and I looked at it and I was like, okay. What is it that makes me so fearful?
Yeah.
What am I avoiding? What is it that I don't want to see?
Yeah.
And as I sat, and this may sound silly, but this is the truth, I closed my eyes and I said, okay, tell me what it is that I'm avoiding.
Yeah.
What do I not want to see?
Mm.
And in the time following that, I actually recorded what came through me.
Okay.
And it was pretty deep. It was pretty deep. We tuck things so far away, and we hope that we'll never have to deal with it again. And that's why people avoid the shadow work.
Yeah.
But the reality is, your breakthrough is through your shadow work. So it's through that. So if you really want, like, my quest is for freedom. Yeah. I want a free life.
Yeah.
I want things to be in flow. Yeah. I want there to be peace and love. I just want enjoyment.
Absolutely.
And so I can't have freedom if I am encumbered by things that I've tucked away. It's like walking around with rocks in your pocket.
Correct.
You're going to always be weighed down.
Absolutely. I did a pod about some, we'll touch on it later, okay. But I have always tried to, and I like to hear people out. I like to hear them why, and I'm glad you gave the analogy of this snake thing, because we all have to find that one thing that we fear. I came across a picture 6 months ago, and I looked at that picture, and I had the biggest smile on my face. And it was back when I was 11th grade, 12th grade. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, that's who I truly am. That picture explained who I was at that moment before I allowed the world to jump on me. Right? Okay. Before the disappointments and the expectations of the world and me looking for myself and other people, then to let me down, it's like, yo, I need to get back to that. I got on a journey to let me unpack all of this, mm-hmm. to the point where I really had to sit down and write certain things down, events in my life that I could flow and be like, this made me, whether it's a person, it was an event, whatever the case was, I had to, because I needed to face those things and see why it made me feel that way. As I continue to do the work, I just really feel a burden that is lifted off of me. The work is never completed for me. And this is the part that I really like. This is why I like to continue to, I'm going to turn some jazz on. I'm going to burn me some candles every day. I love me to where I really been dating myself over the time just to understand me, because when it was time for me to do the work, it was going to take me. So I really watch people that like to be around a lot of people a lot, because it's like you're avoiding something. Mm-hmm. And what COVID brought out, you had to be forced to be alone. And if you ran from that work at that point, you were choosing to do so. So it was, it's the continuation of me to do it. But what I've also said, I can always encourage people to be to do things better. But I was advised to, you need to be the example. Mm-hmm. So the last year or two, I've been trapped in the closet, praying to God on my knees. Excellent. Every day to build that relationship with him. And through him, I've learned to be transparent in those things. Because unfortunately, what I went through wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. But if I keep that in, I'm not doing no service to. So this work now, because I know it comes from him, if I don't share this with the world, I'm acting like God don't even exist in my life.
Exactly.
And that is the key to it all. I really enjoy the simple things in life. Sitting on the balcony, having meal, whatever my choice of spirit is, and just doing my thing and talking to God. He always come through and send me a subtle message, mm-hmm. whether it's a cool breeze, whether it's I was having a moment. I was going to my niece's, and I jump around subjects a lot. So just ride this wave with me.
Let's ride the wave.
A good old Natchez Trace in Mississippi. My niece was graduating. See you there? Yeah. So I was going to my niece's graduation, and she was like, "Unc, don't you miss my graduation." All right. So I'm on the way. I got a lot of rest that day. And when I got up and I was driving, I had been so busy on just living in the world that God has created. The sun hit me in some kind of way. And at that moment, I felt God say, "See, I told you, mm-hmm. I was going to keep you."
Yes.
I had a moment. Mm-hmm. I told my sister soon I got there, I said, "Good, I had a moment." She was like, "What that was about?" And I explained it, because so much we would go through life and just think that we're so busy, we don't pause to give gratitude. Ooh. We don't pause and say, "God, thank you." And at that moment, the way that sun hit me, I had to. I just felt it. And it takes doing the work. It takes taking that load off. It takes quieting the noise sometime to understand that it's not me thinking it, but it's God talking. Yeah. And he don't have words. He have motion.
I love all of
these. Yeah.
And God is so present. Nature, if you ever feel disconnected from God, go get out in nature. Take your shoes and socks off.
What you say?
Walk barefoot through the grass. Look at the trees. Look at the clouds. Or think about breathing. Because you know, it's a marvel that we can breathe on our own. Mm. Think about it for a second.
Okay.
That breath you just took, did you tell your brain?
I did not.
Exactly. So God is breathing into us every single day. There is the opportunity for us to have gratitude in everything.
Wow.
It's a choice and it's perspective. But I want to go back to what you said a minute ago. And what I would pose to the listeners is this. Who were you?
Yeah.
Or the world told you who you were. Because when you stop, and I love that you shared your story of going back, and that's what the shadow work is about. That's what the cave time is about with God. It's revealing to you who you are at your core.
Yeah.
You cannot do what you are purposed to do in this life if you don't know your identity. You cannot do it if you are unwilling to see yourself. You cannot do it in the best and boldest way that God created you if you're not going to be in the fullness and truth of who you are.
Absolutely.
And that means looking at the stuff that we don't like.
Yeah, man.
And making a commitment to shift those things.
Yeah. Yeah. For forgiving the people that we, you know, I used to blame people for certain things. And I'm not going to say it was done right, but again, I learned better because I just continued to want it to become better. And when I was like, yo, that's not those people's fault. You know how they say you point one finger, three coming back to you?
That's right.
That's a real deal. Mm-hmm. And what I had to learn is why I was blaming whatever it was on people. It was because I didn't want to say that I had work to do. Mm-hmm. It's dark. It gets dark. But I also, my buddy told me one time, he said, hey, it's only dark in two places, when you're being planted and when you're being buried.
Mm.
Your perspective will put you there. Your perspective will put you there. And also with doing the work going internal to when I saw that picture, it's okay to do the work to go in deep because you must unroot yourself too as well and place yourself in a new location as well. I bought plants for the apartment months ago, about a year ago. I bought one and one died on me. But I had to sit and look at that plant as it died because I had to think about where was my mind in at the time and how did I allow this to happen on my clock? Mm. It's not that big of a responsibility, but what happened? So as I wrote down my notes, and it's important to write down your notes, what I feel, what helps me is when I have good days, I write those things down. Mm-hmm. When I have bad days, I write those things down. And the day I have a bad day, I can go back and be like, because you didn't do, not to be routine, but to understand my patterns. But when I did that, I was like, all right, I'm gonna go back and buy another plant because I need things that are around me outside of my son that are living, that I have to nurture and take care of. And what men, I'm not going to say what men have been told, what I've never heard before is men are nurturers too.
Oh, now hold on a second. No one's ever told you that?
No.
Well, here for you and everybody else, the goody gang, everybody listening to Remarkably Me.
Yeah.
Men are nurturers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we can come back to, I don't want to interrupt you. We can come back and talk about divine feminine, divine masculine all day
absolutely.
Long. Absolutely. Because there is work there. But yes.
Yeah.
As I look at you, you are a nurturer. And the one thing I will say about you.
Yeah.
Your love for your son, the responsibility you have taken on as a father is phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that's proof right there that you are a nurturer.
And when you see those who fathered before you and being fathered, they father in their own way. But there's not something that you can more so teach it. It's something that you have to be prepared for on your own. And I started doing that inner work. I knew I couldn't come in this world with a son. And it was like, say, bro. You got a lot of, you got to denounce you at this.
Ooh, I wish they could see my expression.
Boy, let me tell you, but that was work that I knew because from the core, I wasn't okay. I wanted to be. But what somebody had to continue to tell me is that the work never stops.
That's right.
Give yourself a lot of grace. Forgive yourself often. And just get up and put your best foot forward. And I think that part is what keeps me going. Now, I don't keep a big circle, and that's because I can't manage. I'm a helper. I will enable people a lot. Some people wouldn't agree with that. But my true spirit.
It's their perspective.
Right. It's their perspective. And I'm not going to dot your I across your T on how you perceive me. I'm not going to do it. But I can't deny myself of being a helper if that's who I am true. Because God looks for two things I feel. Service and love. My barber told me the other day, he said, if you wait on God, you must do what waiters do. And that's serve.
That's exactly.
That's all God wants. I found so, let me tell you, God has shown me and taken me places in the last 2.5, 3 years just by surrendering to him that my efforts can do at all. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, God. So when I go to LA and do places like this and take pictures, I'm like, this, he said, hey, there's more. Because I do feel that some places God give you previews of what your life is going to look like before it happens.
Without question.
But when I wasn't in the right place, I didn't see it.
Yeah. You and even if you did, even if you had, it's like it would have been a tease. Because until you can do the things that will enable you to hold it, you can't absolutely have it. God is, you know, I am a prophet. I am God's prophet. Yeah. That's what God okay says.
Yeah.
And so I do see a lot. I get a lot of viewing into the future of things for the world.
Absolutely.
I typically see 2-3 years out.
Absolutely.
And I have I see God has shown me a lot of my life.
Yeah.
And what you have to know, though, is that there are things that God has shown me that if they happen today, I would fumble.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not prepared for it, right?
All right.
And so think about that. Like when you think about relationships mm-hmm. are just an easy thing that people can relate to, right?
Absolutely, yes.
It's like you sit down, you kneel before God, and you're like, okay, I want to be married. I want my husband to be 6'5", and I want, you know, him to have a basketball build or a football build, and I want him to look like this, and I want him to have this kind of job, and all those things, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully that list includes things that are not superficial, like, you know, that he loves God. And
absolutely,
stuff like that,
yes.
Right? And you can have that list that you position and posture for God. And if that person shows up, you probably walk right past them. Because while you say that's what you want, what you really are attracted to is showing you some stuff that you need to heal in yourself.
Yeah.
So there are so many times where it's like, where if you look back, this is the best test.
Okay.
Look back in your life at times where God gave you exactly what you asked for. And why don't you have it now? Why don't you have it now? Because it will slip through your fingers.
Absolutely.
If you're not prepared
for
it.
If you're not ready for it.
And sometimes I believe that God's like, okay, Anika, let me show you. You think you're ready for this? Let me just go ahead and show you.
Let me eat what you think you want.
And then I'll be like, okay, God, help me. How do I hold this? Like, I don't know.
You asked for you.
There's more holes in the sieve than I thought. You know, and we want so badly to be the view that we have of ourselves in the future. And you were alluding to this earlier. The truth is, there is one moment, and that's now.
Yes.
It's now.
Yeah.
Yesterday is gone.
Absolutely.
There's no yesterday. There's no tomorrow. We have now. And it's funny. My godmother sent me something this morning.
Yeah.
And it said, stop saving things for the future.
Okay.
Like, you know how you buy something, it's like, you know, new pair of shoes or
absolutely
a new handbag in my case, and you're saving it for the special occasion?
Yeah.
Today is the special occasion. Like, why not live for now? And so how that ties together is if we're focused on being the best that we can be for today, then God will reveal tomorrow what we need to work on next. If we do what God gives us tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that, when those days come, by the time that God comes back with that list that you sent, you'll be ready to hold it. A lot of times, Sam, people compare the list that they make of what they want in an ideal partner. I know this is probably another podcast.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
You would look at that list and not see yourself able to make that list. Like, I want somebody, you know, like you know, listen.
Y'all know who she's talking about.
Listen. You know?
Yeah.
You know? I believe it.
We all wish for those things that we wish to grow to. And that's what I tell people all the time. I like when people make vision boards, but I make sure I let them know that what you have on this vision board, who you are today, you won't be that person that's walking in the house. That's going to be a totally different person. You have to grow to that person. And the reason God won't give you those things now, because you have to grow to those things. Everything that you ask God for, some, and what he has for you, you have to grow to.
100%.
He's not going to come and lay it on you. They tell him if you below the Bible Belt, people in Mississippi is waiting on God, literally sitting down waiting on God. But God is a moving God. So faith without works is dead.
Right.
But because we see Big Mama and Mama them just going to church, coming back, sitting down, not really putting no, you going to work, but where are you working at your faith at? I know that I have to grow to those things that I want, because I feel that I'm not going to say I lost some of those things. The preview that God has given me is that that's what you had, but what I have for you is better. So I know that, all right, I probably fumbled it at the time because it was a mistake. I wasn't carrying it right. Big on nurturing things now. I really take inventory on what those, I'm a minimalist, by the way, right? I used to have a closet full of stuff, but now it's like, if it's not, if it's here, it's actively being worn. It's actively being used.
That's what happens when you let God in.
I cannot have things that's in my space that is taking up space anymore. It has to be actively used. I read a book one time and it said that the guy father visited his house and he looked and he says, son, you have nothing in here. He says, sir, I have everything that I need in here. Right. I'm not weighed down by things
or buying things to fill space
or buying things
to feel a certain way about myself, because I already feel that way about myself.
Absolutely.
Inside.
Yeah. And a lot of people have to grow to that point of, this is where I am. And I done bought things before. I done seen people buy way more things and they're still not happy. I just feel happiness is everybody's own journey. You owe that to yourself. But what it takes to be happy is not that much. You shouldn't have that laundry list of things that should make you happy. 100%. I be wanting to kind of beat it in people's head, but I'll be like, you know what? People tried to, I was a knucklehead and I didn't get that until now.
The truth is, like, joy and happiness can't come from things and it can't come from anybody else. Ever walk into a room with somebody who is just overjoyed? They're just full of life and love. Yeah. Well, actually, that's us when we walk in the room.
But, right.
But truly, someone chooses to take on our energy, to be like, oh, I was feeling so bad, but now that you're here,
absolutely,
I feel so energy. That's a choice.
Absolutely.
It's not that we did something to make that person happy.
Yeah.
They chose to be happy.
Absolutely.
Because you can see it in the same instance where when somebody is down, like if you think about your son in a moment that he's crying,
yeah,
because there's a need that he has, right? And he can't articulate it yet because he can't talk to you yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, Seth's like, look, I need something.
Absolutely,
right now.
Yeah.
And you could be just as joyful as you want to be, and that doesn't change his mood.
Right.
You could be like, but I'm bouncing you up and down, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, Dad, I'm not feeling it.
But
right?
That ain't it. Yeah.
Because it's choice. We look for so much outside of ourselves to fix the empty space, to fill the brokenness, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
You will never find it there. You can't find it in another person. It's not how they make you feel. It's how you choose to feel when you're with them.
That unlearning is something else.
I'm telling you.
It's survival mode. People told me, it was like, yo, it's a lot of people, like, they are just in survival mode because they just like to chase the fact that they want to be in control of how they feel, but they want to traject it. But truthfully, it's on the inside of you. And as simple as it sounds, Michael Todd said one time, he was like, people look for so much. They look for an in-depth conversation, an in-depth sermon to change your life. It's very shallow. Mm-hmm. It's like, just choose to be happy. Choose to do what's right.
Yep.
It's all of that. I know a lot of my mishaps has come from me being indecisive about certain things. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think when that term stuck out about a year ago, I had to start looking at what I was super indecisive about, because it was just hard to make decisions, because I felt like this made this goal, that mattered to this. And I'm like, yo, you know, break all of this. Mm-hmm. Prioritize your life. What does your life look like? What do you want it to look like? What are you praying about? What are the signs that God has given you that he wants you to do? When I started doing it, I stopped a lot of things. And it was a lot because I've put so much work into certain things and I felt that I was going to control the outcome of my life. That ain't how it goes. When you're able to stop it and surrender, be like, all right, God, I started to see that the skills that I built over here, the skills that I built over there, it all came into using for my gift and my purpose.
Romans 8:28.
See? So
it all works together for the good.
It all works. But I had to get to that point. And what I try to do here, you know, with the Goody Gang, and people tell me all the time, yo, your market is young men that are between 18 and 35, because they're all on this journey of self-fulfillment. But truth of the matter is, if they can, the sooner they can find God,
check.
It's done.
Yeah, it is.
It's done.
I'm curious. I want to go back to this piece around indecision for you.
Okay.
What did you find is at the root of the indecision?
I wanted everybody to prosper from what I saw them to do, even if it took me to sacrifice myself. I wanted to make anybody that came in, you need help with what? I got it. So if I can't do for this person, I can't do for that person, I feel like I'm not just, I would prefer to make everybody else happy versus anything. So I can't make decisions that are important enough for me because I'm depleting myself by pleasing everybody else.
It's so good. And it is the people pleasing thing. I know it all too well. But I will tell you this, that there is something, what God has shown me, because I really genuinely learned this from God.
Okay.
I asked God to help me remove external validation, because what I realized is that I could tell myself that I was doing a good job, but if you told me, I valued that more.
Oh.
And so it was, and it is, it's coupled with people pleasing, yeah. Right? So yeah, it's like, I do what it is to take care of you so that I feel fulfilled when you tell me that.
Absolutely.
I'm good, right?
Yeah.
And
and I only feel good when you tell me.
When you tell me. So if you don't tell me, then I'm like, well, you know. And I said to God one day, I was talking about a particular situation, and I was like, I just don't feel chosen. And God said, I chose you. And I was like, okay, let me rephrase that. Because if I'm chosen by you, if you are choosing me, and you know everything about Anika, you know what my hair looks like when I wake up in the morning, what I did on February 15th, 1996. Not that there was anything I remember, but you know, check those dates, guys.
Yeah,
leave them dates alone. But you know everything, and you still choose me. Okay, hold on. So let's talk about worthiness.
Okay.
People are always searching for worthiness. They're like, I don't feel good enough. And I'm writing a book about that, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, you're worthy because God says so.
Absolutely.
It is that simple. It's that simple.
Yep.
God says you're worthy and I choose you.
Yeah.
So now you can check those off your list for the listeners, the Goody Gang. Check it off the list.
Check it off, man.
Because you're worthy.
Absolutely.
And you're chosen.
Yeah.
And so now what you got left? Work on the rest of that stuff. Like when you get into alignment with God and you recognize what you have always been seeking and looking for, it was in God and inside of you. It's
absolutely
in God, and God placed it inside of you. It's in God, and it's in your path to your purpose.
Yep.
And then you're not looking at what things other people need. You are encouraging them and helping them to fulfill the things they need on their own.
Man.
That's how we're supposed to be.
Absolutely.
Can I share something
Go
with
ahead.
You that
Keep
God
going.
Said about love? Okay.
Keep going.
So it's interesting because in these love relationships, and this has been my journey, has been healing, and it's a lot of stuff around hard stuff.
Okay.
I used to say to God all the time, don't talk to me about love because I don't like them squishy feelings. Like, I don't like all that stuff. I mean, I like love, but you know, the squishiness,
right,
I don't,
you know.
Season.
Yeah.
I'm real cerebral. Like, you know, I work well in my head how I think about things. So my friend would say to me, you know, how do you feel about that? And I'd be like, well, I think I feel. And she's like, that's thinking. It's not feeling.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's not the same thing.
Yeah.
But what God revealed to me is this. People go through this emptiness that they feel in relationships, yeah. and they're always looking to fill it. And sometimes that's why it's like, you know, you're pouring out to other people, or you have a big group of people like yeah. you talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. But we are really supposed to be filled in our relationship with God. So just yeah. imagine this highway
yeah.
between you and God, and the traffic is flowing in both directions, right? Correct. It's like God pouring into you, and then you are exalting God. Yeah. You are giving God glory. You're worshiping glory.
Yeah.
You're worshiping mm-hmm. God. And so you constantly are filled
yeah.
because you have that. Now, here comes somebody into your life, and maybe that person is not at 100% full. Maybe they're at 50.
Yeah.
And now they're pulling from you. So now you're not full. You're getting what you need, but you don't have as much to give back to God, right? And now the person's pulling, and so now you're starting to get depleted. Like this, there's a one-way highway going to the person you're in the relationship with, this two-way highway going back.
Y'all know who she talking about, good again. Yeah, listen, point them out. Mm-hmm, yeah. Y'all know who those people are.
He know. yeah, yeah. But truly then, you know, if that person develop the relationship with God,
yeah.
where there's a two-lane highway there,
absolutely,
they wouldn't pull from you. Think about it, because they're full because they have that back and forth with God. You're full because you have the back and forth with God.
Absolutely.
When you put God in the center of a relationship, mm-hmm. then everybody mm-hmm. is full at all times. Mm-hmm. So you never are pulling something from somebody else yeah. and depleting them. They're Absolutely. Never pulling from you and getting depleted.
That is the biggest sign that people refuse to acknowledge, because the comfort that they find in love, because of what they call it, unconditional, but that's not what God meant for love to be. They shouldn't be depleted, shouldn't be depleting you. Can you speak for a second on being equally yoked? Because when you started saying something about you received that one highway between you and God, you giving and receiving, it's reciprocity in real time. But when somebody else comes along and they're not that way, I played both sides before and I understand what it is to deplete someone. Because I'm dependent on them too much.
I hope you pour it back into them after that.
I'm learning now. Okay. Well, you know what?
That's good.
To pour back, I just start pouring in because it's hard to go back and
facts.
To do those things. But when you learn better, you do better. But what does it mean to be equally yoked from the example that you just used of someone pouring into somebody and depleting them?
It's so funny because people use this terminology to mean all of these things. And yeah. it's like, it's all secular.
Yeah.
I always say, like, first and foremost, God is open, because this, I think, is important for the Goody Gang.
Okay.
God wants you to ask your questions.
Yeah.
We kind of grew up in this time, like, you know, just God said it, so you do it, and there's no questions or whatever. That's Correct. Not true.
Because God says so.
God wants you. You have questions. God's okay with you having questions, because God is the truth. So you go to God to get the truth. So I would say to you, you know, take the question that Sam just posed about equally yoked to God and see what God reveals to you.
Yes.
Now, from my perspective,
okay,
it is really about you having alignment with God and choosing someone who sees God in the same way.
Okay.
This whole thing goes to, you know, people talking about what level you're in and your jobs and mm-hmm, relationships. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff is not true.
Yeah.
There is this dynamic of like, well, if this person can't provide for me in this way, then we're not equally yoked. But provisions can come in a multitude of ways.
Lord Jesus.
It doesn't always have to be financial, right? Mm. And so that there's a lot of, God has been taking me down this journey of love and acceptance. And that means recognizing the value that exists in whomever
Absolutely.
And whatever the situation Absolutely. Or circumstances are. Now, what I would say is that if you are looking at getting into a relationship with someone and there is a risk that God is not at the center.
Yeah.
I would be real slow on that because God yeah. will sustain the relationship
yeah.
when you cannot. God will show the person how to honor you. See, this is the thing.
Okay.
People are like,
you're
okay.
Spicy.
I'm spicy. People are like, you know, they're like, God, Anika ain't acting right. She ain't doing what I want her to do. And God's like, you right.
Yeah.
But I'm working on her because she's a work in progress. Absolutely. But you know what I need you to do right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
I need you to focus on X, Y, and Z and let me work
let
on her.
Me work on
when
her.
God is in the midst, you don't have to be caught up with all that stuff. So take the definition, the traditional definition of equally yoked, and throw it out.
Yeah. Yeah. It has nothing to do with your jobs and all of that.
Ask God what it means for you and what it means to be in the relationship. Because here's the thing.
Okay.
We minimize so much of value and gifting from people. And if we didn't do that and could truly just see them again, when you are depleted, you're looking for somebody to fill it. And so if we are full, then your partner can exist in any way, shape, or form that God says is okay for
them. Yeah.
And it will be fine. Because God will fill in the middle. God will fill it in. Now, I do think that you have to be clear about what you value.
Yes.
And that that matters in relationship. For example, you see situations where, you know, people are like, I use an example of dating. Mm-hmm. Where one person is like, I'm dating. And the other person is like, I don't want a date.
Yeah.
It's likely going to create conflict.
Absolutely. It is.
Right? Because because the value that you have is not the same. It's not even. Yeah. And so you got to take that before God. And God may say, even still, there's something I want to teach you in this. There's something I want you to learn. And you will glean that.
Yeah. Do you think it's ever too late to invite God into that situation?
I don't think it's ever too late for anything with God.
Okay.
Because God is the change agent, right?
Absolutely.
God can change any situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what has to happen is both people need to be at a place where they're interested in seeking after God. You talked about it when we opened this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Seeking after God has to be something that both will do.
Yeah.
God can lead and evolve someone through someone else. We see it all the time, right?
Yeah.
But for the relationship to be sustainable,
mm-hmm.
both people need to have their individual relationship.
Have to.
And here's the thing, Sam, like, and I would say this to you as a man, I know, you know, you talked about your target audience. So there's a lot of guys between 18 and 35 out there listening.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. For those of you who really want to be in relationship and married and married at some point, whether that's you're on your path to it now or down the road, you got to know where the heck you're going.
You got to.
And so how do you know where you're going if you're not in alignment with God?
Absolutely.
When you find, it's like, yeah, but you know, I may have wanted this when I was out here playing, but like now that I'm settling down, this is what I'm looking for, you know, in my partner.
Yeah.
How can you have that partner and lead that partner if you don't know where you're going?
Hey, I've started to draw back some of my comfort. Well, not draw back, double down on what I've realized now is that people should spend more time on understanding what their purpose in life is, what God say your purpose is. The more you pursue your purpose, or for example, myself, when I started to pursue my purpose, everything that needed to be a part of me was a part of me because I was focused on my purpose. Mm-hmm. When I'm just out, no goals, no this, no that, everything came with it. Yeah. And I'm like, what is this? But when I started to realize what my purpose was and I moved in that way, everything or every person that's come within there was there for a purpose because I'm focused on that. But I had to ask God what my purpose was. So I had to be in the act of currently always self-aware. I'm always present because it is important, because the minute you get distracted, you're lost.
And you're right. And here's you're the lost. Thing. So purpose matters. And people like me, this is what I do for a living.
Yeah.
I am a coach, and it is about helping people on their path to purpose.
Yeah.
And so this is my work. This is what I get so excited about. You're like, you already been excited about everything we talked about, but But truly, we sometimes make it sound like something that's like, it's this massive epiphany and like you got there and it's the end of the road. That's not it.
Yeah.
The path to purpose is your journey.
Yeah.
It's allowing yourself to be present on the journey as things are unfolding, because your purpose is much bigger than even what you know it to be today,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
It will continue to evolve and grow over time.
Yeah.
What you want is to be pursuing joy and peace and love,
yeah,
and impact. Like asking yourself, what's the impact you want to make on the world? What are the things that you want to birth and
through
teach?
Your purpose? Correct.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, I think a lot of times people think that purpose is like it means they have to go through a certain career or something like that.
Yeah.
For some people, purpose may be bringing people joy through music.
Absolutely.
And perhaps in order to, you know, maintain their household or whatever responsibilities they have, they work a different job, you know, 9 to 5.
Absolutely.
And on the weekends, or they play in church, you know, church choir, or, you know, they are moonlighting with a band or whatever.
Yeah.
You're still delivering your purpose. And so in whatever way it takes form and shape, it should be feeding you and encouraging you and pulling you forward into what God has next for you.
Yeah. Get it, gang? What that means is as you're doing the inner work, your self work, ask God, what is your purpose? Mm-hmm. Ask God, why are you here? Yeah. When you spend that time, after you've bumped your head 1,000 times and you just exhausted with trying to do it your way, take your hands off the wheel and just surrender to God. I promise you, it's going to take some time to build that relationship. What changed for me is when somebody notioned me to get on your knees and pray. Mm-hmm. Don't just sit in your car. Don't be so mundane. Respect God enough to give him that time. Set aside that time. And I can tell you, it has changed the trajectory of my life in that short time. God, like, oh, You serious now?
Exactly. Oh,
you serious?
Right.
And when I get up, I make sure I give him something to bless. So there's the work that I have to do. But I wanted to make sure that I wasn't getting up and I was just doing what I was normally do, because it is so comfortable. Mm-hmm. I had to wash the whiteboard. I had to refocus. God, you tell me what to put up here.
That's it.
And that took some time.
That's it.
A lot of people go in and they pray and it's a, what is it? It's a monologue. It's just you talking to God, but they forget to have the dialogue.
That's exactly right. And the thing that God looks for from us is silence. So it's like, you know, your prayer, like, okay, goody gang, let me teach you how to pray, right? It's like, set aside time for God and keep your commitment on that time.
Yes.
Hit your knees. Or sit comfortably on a pillow.
However.
But sit somewhere where you are undisturbed.
Yeah.
Give God glory. Glorify God. Repent.
Absolutely.
Cover the things. God, forgive me even for the things that I thought that I didn't even realize were out of alignment. Show me so I can be better tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And then you can give God just gratitude for the fact that you live and all of the wonderful people and things, et cetera, so forth. And then do this. Quiet and listen. And sometimes you might not hear God saying something to you. Sometimes you might feel a desire to pick up a pen.
I was going to say listen really means feel
and be still. Allow yourself to be still.
I used to pray, and the minute I say amen, I'll hop right up
and start journaling.
And I just move. So now what I do, I'll pray, and these knees are 42 now, so I can't. I'll get a little pillow or something.
Those are old knees, whatever.
Yo, I get the pillow down at this point, but I make sure that after I say, man, I give God a second. I give him some time just to let him know that God, whatever. See, I didn't know that it was just this simple. And guys, I'm telling you right now, it's just that simple. The best relationship you will ever have in life is the one that you have with God.
Facts.
I read the Michael Todd book, Relationship Goals. And what he talked about was the relationship that God and Adam had. Mm-hmm. It never said how long they had the relationship. But when man started to understand their purpose in life, they would start to take on their purpose in life. Mm-hmm. God gave you dominion over the world. That's another part. But because I feel like the world is going the way it's going, is because a lot of us are misplaced. We've been mistaught and we have to unlearn a lot of things. There's a small percentage of us that are on the journey of let me get this right. And there's a lot of us that are going to continue to be lost. They were lost in the Bible too. But it's my job. As now that I know, I have the information and the knowledge, I'm going to forever seek it, but also to be the example of what I need to be. So those who are on that journey or started, they need to be there. So that relationship with God is the most important one that I had. And when I read that book and I got through with it, it blew my mind.
So good.
It blew my mind because I asked God, I said, God, I don't want another relationship unless you brought it to me.
And that's it. And that, and I'm telling you, that in and of itself,
yeah,
keeps you from a lot of mess.
It keeps you from a lot
of crap. Because God will look at you and be like, I know you want a relationship when I bring you, but you ain't ready yet. God will say, okay. God said to me earlier this year, I am bringing you someone who is going to show you what you deserve.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And God did. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
And in that journey, neither of us had ever experienced anything like what God created for
us.
And so when you allow it to allow God to do it, you receive so much of what you need and what you desire that you couldn't have picked for yourself because you
didn't
simply
even
don't know
that you needed it.
Did not. And trust me, I wouldn't. I mean, some of the things were not on my list.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I didn't realize that would make me feel this way.
See, absolutely.
It is. It is. But I want to go back to the relationship with God.
Yeah.
It is the intimacy with God that changes your heart.
Absolutely.
It helps you see things differently, and it makes you desire more of God.
Absolutely.
So the more that you allow yourself to sit in God's face, to be present with God, the more that you will desire it. And for those that may have feel like you've wandered, like you haven't been in God's presence in a while, here's the trick. You just go see God.
You just go see God.
Because the thing about God is, it's different than the person who you left on red. It's different than, you know, the people you talked about and they found out.
Yeah.
You know, your forgiveness is immediate. Grace is abundant with God. And so you simply just go.
Yeah.
You can't get it wrong.
Absolutely.
You just have to posture your heart to desire the relationship with God and it will come.
Yep.
It will come.
He knows.
He knows.
He knows when you've been. I used to go in there, well, God was like, uh-uh. And then I'd be like, say, bro, we need to talk. Hey, today was a day and I let it get away from me. I started to feel a bit condemned at times when I would place people over God.
Okay.
Man, why you ain't calling me back? Oh, girl, why you ain't? God, like, wait a minute. And I will start to ask myself, what if God started asking you those same questions that you're asking other people?
Or what if God started putting people above you? Like, what if God was like, okay, Nika, I hear you, but I can't get to you right now because I'm with Sam.
Absolutely.
You know, and like, God asks us to walk in obedience, right? And so if God didn't say, take care of Sam first, then I'm out of order.
Absolutely.
So God said, hey, seek me.
Yeah.
You know, Matthew 6:33, when you seek after God first, all things are added onto you. So if you are doing what it is that God asks you to do,
absolutely,
you know that you are going to be blessed.
Yep. Yep.
And a lot of times in relationship people, so my take on relationships is that there's a lot of fear.
Okay.
People are afraid to lose people. They're afraid that people are going to find somebody else. They're afraid that, you know, they're not enough. Like, there's so much fear-based movement. And so what happens when you have fear is you respond in control. Control, power, manipulation.
Yeah.
Those things
Absolutely.
Start to come up,
okay.
right? When God is in the midst and you're seeking after God, you're like looking at the other person like, you good? Because I'm focused on running my thing over here.
Yeah.
Because as long as I keep this relationship right and whatever God puts into my hands are good, I know I'm going to be all right. And then the relationship is going to be okay. Because if I can take you there for a minute.
Go ahead.
Part of the issue is that we look for relationships to be the end all be all.
Yeah.
But they are not. They are meant to be a part of our lives.
Absolutely.
I see it as, and what I say to God all the time is, I want it to amplify what I'm already doing.
Correct.
I want it to amplify who I already am.
Absolutely.
So if I'm a mess inside, I don't want that coming out. So don't bring me nobody else. Let me work on my mess.
Yeah.
But truly, it should come together and accentuate what you already have going.
Absolutely.
With God.
Yeah.
God will remove, and I say this, I can say it with certainty, God will remove anyone or anything that you put before him.
I'm telling you.
If it hasn't happened, it will.
I'm telling you.
Because at some point, God is going to bring you to your knees.
A jealous God.
He is a jealous God.
How dare you put anybody before me?
And look, here's the other thing. This is the secret. I'm going to whisper this into the microphone. Nobody loves you like God does.
I swear.
They don't. They can't.
And if you think they do, shame on you.
Shame on you. Shame because on. Listen, you didn't tell them what you did on February 12, 1992. Like, they don't know everything about you.
And God loves you regardless.
Regardless.
When you do, you tell somebody that you're intimately, he still chooses you.
Still chooses.
You tell somebody else what you done did last week around this time, watch how fast they turn on you.
They're gonna feel some type of way. And they should.
Absolutely.
Because in your humanness, it's like, wait a minute.
Yes.
This hurt, right? I'm choosing to feel hurt because of what you did. That's their choice.
Yes.
But I'm choosing to feel hurt. But God says, Sam.
Yeah.
Now you know that one,
now
right?
You know that one, right?
But I give you grace.
Absolutely.
Get up, sin no more. Don't do that again. You know better now because I done told you, so you know better.
And I think a lot of relationships are more helpful in a way when my buddy told me, the brothers told me, they said, dog, the reason, he said, I like the fact that you feel condemned when certain things happen to me. Your heart is in the right place. But please understand that you're not perfect and you never will be.
Right.
Strive to always be the best person, a better person every day. So when you enter a relationship that way, with that in mind, and you are dating someone that's thinking the same way, I don't see that. I'm not going to say failing because they fail for all kind of reasons. But when your heart is in the right place and God is at the center of it and at the foundation of it, it's hard for that to really crumble.
Yeah, it makes a difference. And you said the word foundation, and that's the core. Because a lot of times, and the Bible talks about God being the cornerstone, right?
Yeah.
There's a verse in the Bible that says, if God's not the builder, why build?
Mm.
So if you're not going to build it with God,
yeah.
if you're not going, then Damn why it. Build a relationship? Because it's bound to crumble. Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
You can't fix the stuff that you don't know. So like, you might be looking at your partner like, oh, everything's good. It's happy-go-lucky. And inside, they're pissed off.
Absolutely.
They're frowning at you, but they're just not showing it on the outside.
Yep.
When that happens in a God-centered relationship, mm-hmm. God is working on that person.
Absolutely.
They're saying, Anika, why are you looking at that man that way? Like, what's going on with you? And God will say to you, you didn't tell him that hurts your feelings.
Yeah.
You didn't say, I need you to show up this way.
You didn't
talk about those things. God is working on the relationship even when you're not. God is helping the person to be a better person even when you can't see it. God is helping you to respond in ways that you're giving grace that they deserve and need.
I think relationships should mirror what God intended for his love, what man should be.
100%.
100%. So we should love each other the way God intended on how he shows love.
100%.
The grace that this. So people, I know I say I'm on page two. I'm a little bit past
I was about
it.
To say, you at least on page five or six.
But
you might be in Exodus right now. But, you know.
But I try to make sure that I stay humble enough to always continue to do the work. Because if I'm on page two and I'm guaranteed that I'm going to complete the book, that means that I'm going to continue to do the work.
I like that.
So it's good again. We've talked for an amazing time. This is the content that I do give on my pod, and it becomes a little bit mundane because it's just me talking. But it's amazing to hear another intellectual person, a person who's done the work, continuing to do the work,
doing the work,
and just for the betterment of ourselves as parents, as children of God continuously, and to always seek that we know that we are the in charge of our own happiness and joy. Thank you. Thank you for this time.
Thank you.
Thank you for this conversation.
This was a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
It
will not be the last. Next time I'm turning the cameras on.
Okay. Bring it.
I'll turn the cameras on because YouTube is a real thing, man. But I do take this serious because I love conversations. But sometimes I really hate when I leave a dope conversation and I'm like, damn, we didn't record it. We've had some through FaceTime one time, and I'm like, yo, we should have recorded that one.
That was a podcast that episode. That conversation was so...
But when it's already in you, when it's already who you are, I know that just in a matter of time, it's going to happen. Yeah, thank you. Indeed. Thank you for your time.
Such a pleasure. And can I just say...
Yes.
I'm proud of your growth.
Thank you.
Growth looks good on you.
Thank you.
Keep going.
I will.
Keep going. Get to page three. Finish the book. Finish the book. But no, I'm really proud of you.
Yes, ma'am. Can you give the Goody Gang your podcast, whatever you have going on, so I can make sure that we support you in that way?
I appreciate that. Yes, again, ma'am. My name is Anika Apple. You can find me on Instagram at Anika Apple. Same handle for Twitter. You can find me on YouTube on my Anika Apple channel. And I have a series called Perspective Changes Everything. Surprise. Yeah. and a series called The Pearls of Proverbs. You can find me on my website, which is anikaapple.com.
Okay.
And I do have a book coming out. So if you go to the website and put your name in the mailing list, you'll receive that. And I have some other secret projects on the way, but I'll come back and talk about those later.
Hey, well, you got 100% of the support from the Goody Gang.
I appreciate it. Goody Gang, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Hey, man, as I always say, I love y'all with the love of God. Y'all take care. Peace.
And blessings.